Have you ever been curious about using AI to do your note-taking after your therapy sessions? The admin juggle is real. Using AI to transcribe my notes has quite literally changed my practice forever.
I'm going to be running a 70-minute webinar that you can join live and you can have access to after and watch as many times as you would like. I'm running this on Friday, the 25th of April, 2025. So put the date in your diary.
This is a step-by-step guide on how to use Heidi Health, the note-taking AI software for therapists. If you're curious about how it works, including concerns around consent and GDPR, or if you're already using it and want to ensure that you're maximising the features, then this webinar is for you. Join me and sign up at masteringtherapy.com or click the link in the show notes.
Season 1, Episode 1 with Dr. Chris Irons on working with a strong inner critic.
So it's finding a way basically to help people. And like with many aspects of our threat systems which serve some sort of protective function, if you get people to imagine or you get them to imagine that being taken away from them, it's like you're looking underneath the hood of the threat system. You're able to get into the fears. And the point there is you can say, explore with people, how would you feel if this therapy then was about me trying to reduce or get rid of your self-critic? And of course, most of us shake our heads no, because we've just had this revelation that there it is, that without it, I'm going to feel lazy, I'll make more mistakes, I'll hurt people, I'll be narcissistic, all these types of things. So one of the things we say in CMT is that, look, if you want to keep hold of your self-critic for the time being, keep hold of it. Because me going up against the self-critic, somebody else's self-critic, which is rooted and powerful and strong and been around for decades, and there's me that gets 50-minute sessions once a week for however many weeks, who's going to win? Well, it ain't going to be me. So the bit that we're saying, first of all, is we validate and reassure people, as long as you need to keep hold of this is fine. Now, in my mind, what I'm thinking is, of course, hold this as long as you want to, until there can be another part of self that can begin to take over some of this in a way which isn't going to be harmful for you. Because it's really important from the CFT model that while self-criticism does often have a function, it's trying to protect us from something. The way it goes about doing it is very, very, very painful and causes problems. I mean, the correlation between self-criticism, depending on the type, and psychological distress is at 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, sometimes 0.7. I mean, this is a major predictor of psychological distress. So we also then need to flip the side of the coin to say, whilst on one hand, this part is trying to protect you from another concern, the way that it does it often causes huge distress. And to help people to do that, we then have an exercise in which we ask people to put an image to their self-critic. So that if they could imagine that they can see their self-critic in front of them, what would this look like? Now, we specify here for it not to be a real person. So we ask them to be able to create something new. The reason for that is partly the work that we come on to later on, but often, of course, what will happen is that people will start putting an image like my mom or my dad or my... Now, the problem there is how much of this is a self-critic versus an internalized other, like a real abusive person. And so we want to be able to identify and separate out and see if you've basically internalized your abuser. It's a real person who said these real things to you. And now that's living in your head in a way masquerading as a self-critic, but actually it is an external, critical, harmful other. What we're trying to do is create space for people to be able to create something which can be a little bit separate from this. And so what you'll find is that people can create all sorts of types of images. Some of them will be archetypal, witches, snakes, goblins, but it can be all sorts of things. We ask for people to imagine whether the image is static or moving, whether it's making any gestures, if it has a face, what's its facial expression like, if it has a voice, what's its voice like. And then crucially, as people are developing this image, we also then ask them to imagine that the image is directing criticism at them. What sort of words is it saying to you? So to get people to say that out loud through the imagery exercise. But then crucially to ask them, what emotion or emotions is this image of your critic directing towards you? And the important thing there is that you'll get a wide mixture. So sometimes it'll be anger, rage, disgust, contempt, disappointment, shame, anxiety. And the interesting thing is they're massively different emotions. They are not the same emotion. And so knowing that as a clinician becomes crucial, because when we work with the self-critic, we need to know in a way what sort of, what's it punching with? What's its weapons? What type of emotion? Because a critic that's directing, let's say, contempt at you is quite different from a critic that's directing disappointment or anxiety to you. So this is a really crucial bit for us to know and to help our clients to know. And then a follow-up question is, so in the face of this criticism from the image of your self-critic, how does that leave you feeling, receiving this? And again, the interesting thing here is that the emotions and feelings can be very different. So again, some people might start with fearful, anxious, panicky, sad, distressed, disappointed, ashamed. But sometimes what you'll also hear are things like angry or rageful. And so my response, the part of me that's receiving the self-criticism, can have very different emotional responses to this. And again, we're going to need to know this because we would deal with those responses in very different ways. Just like in the therapy room, if a client turned up and they're full of anger and rage, the way that you might work with that face-to-face with that person is quite different than if they turned up with sadness or fear, for example. We don't just respond to all emotions in the same way. And that's going to be the case that when we bring compassion to these two separate parts, the critical part of self and the criticized part of self, we're going to want to know what's held inside of this.
To hear the full episode, you can download it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Or if you'd prefer to watch it, you can do so on the Mastering Therapy YouTube channel.